In 1912, when the Titanic sailed, everybody thought on its maiden voyage that it was unsinkable. As you and I know at this point, that didn't prove to be true, and in fact, 1,522 individuals lost their lives. Now, I don't know if you realize or not, but the reason they thought it was unsinkable was because of a new innovation. For the first time, instead of ships being built with a one unified hull, one-piece hull, with the Titanic, they integrated it. They compartmentalized it. And so the thinking with the Titanic was, we will take, instead of one integrated unified hull, we will build into it compartments. And then if there's a breach, if there's damage, even flooding in one compartment of the hull, it won't jeopardize or sink the ship because the rest of the hull will stay intact. Well, as we now know also, you know that's not true, because when they found the Titanic at the bottom of the sea, if you've seen the pictures of it, what actually sank that ship was minimal. It was actually very small scratches from that iceberg that unfortunately were deep enough and went across enough compartments that it actually sunk the unsinkable ship. James Cameron, who just recently did the movie Avatar, did the movie Titanic, said the Titanic is a metaphor for life. That you and I can think we're doing fine, we're smooth sailing, the water is fine, everything's going great in our life, but if there's a breach, if there is a problem in certain areas of our life, we can sink. And so what I want us to do this morning is talk about how you and I, even as good believers, and how many people, unbelievers and believers, make a Titanic mistake in their life, because what they do is, instead of this integrated, unified life, they compartmentalize their life. And they think, I have these compartments to my life. And over here I have my church life, and I come and I praise God and I give back to Him. And then over here I have my work life, where I'm in the real world and I'm making money and going about my business. And over here I have my marriage and family life. And in this compartment I have these roles and functions. And over here, and on and on and on. And even well-meaning Christians can divide their lives, compartmentalize them, if you will. And often these compartments never interact with each other, because that's the way we design them. In other words, there is no integration in their life where we get integrity. Now, I can do this over here in my church life on Sunday because I'm a good Christian, but when I'm over here and I'm in my workplace, then I'm a different person. It was, I guess it was two times ago. I was at the National Day of Prayer, and unbeknownst to Ken, he was there as a fire chief. A lot of city officials were there. And Ken was nice enough to introduce me to different people in the city government as his pastor. And you know, it really would have struck me if somebody would have just looked at me and said, "Pastor, I didn't even know he was a Christian. You don't know Ken like I know him, obviously." But that didn't happen. It didn't happen, did it, kid? No, that didn't happen. And that's what I'm talking about, this lack of integration. Listen to this definition of integrity. This is from Webster's. Integrity is the quality or state of being complete or undivided or incorruptible. So this is the tragedy. We think that, you know, we've got our church life here and our work life here and our family life here and these pieces of the pie, these compartments, and if there's a little sin in this area and maybe we're taking on water, maybe it's flooded, that's okay because I can stay afloat. I've got all these other areas going. And what that does is that's value contradiction, and it brings stress and it brings all kinds of negative things to our life. It affects every area. And it's a big mistake. And so, this is saying that if you compartmentalize your life, a Titanic mistake, you will never have the integrity that God wants you to have, because by nature, integration means you're going through the whole. Your spiritual life, who you are in Christ, is affected, is applied, is involved in every role and function that you perform in your life. And so you can't say, well, I do this over here as a good Christian, and I can do this over here because my job demands it. No, you can't do that. And so the reason we like to compartmentalize our lives is because we like to say family first. Family, my marriage, my children, and my expenditure of time and effort for them, mentally, emotional energy. That's of utmost importance to me as a husband, as a father. But then I spend all my time at work. I've done that. As a recovering workaholic, I can tell you how easy it is to mouth the words. Family is most important to me, and spend 18 hours a day on the job. There's a lot of us out there. I want to be a good Christian on Sunday, and I'll put my tie on. But then during the week, I want to go to a movie that blasphemes God or uses His name in vain. Lack of integration, the compartmentalization. Now, there's a popular phrase that's been going around for decades. I know you've heard it. What I do in my private life or what I do in my business life has no effect on my public actions. Let me take you way back. Remember the years of Bill Clinton? This is not a partisan thing. I'm just talking about what was in the news. When the moral failure happened with Bill Clinton, the economy was tracking good. Everybody was aware of this Monica Lewinsky thing. And do you know what the discussion was in the news? You remember this phrase, it's the economy stupid? People were saying, we like what's going on with the economy. Everything's going good in my life. And I believe that he can still be a good president and perform his functions, public functions as a president, even though this one compartment, this one area of his life has been breached and he's taken on water fast. That was on all the national news networks. This social, this public discussion, discourse that was going on, can you be a good president, can you serve in public office and have this really bad issue going on in your private life? And there were many that were saying, yeah, it's okay. That's not integrity. Move all the way forward. If you've seen it in the news, Bishop Eddie Long in Atlanta. I don't know Bishop Eddie Long. I've heard him speak a time or two. This is a guy that grew a church from 300 to 25,000 in Atlanta. He's got satellite churches. Can I tell you what's going through Bishop Eddie Long's mind right now? God has used me mightily. He has worked through me and built this mega church. Wonderful things. He has affected people coming to Christ, people touched all around the world. And it's just a wonderful thing. And, oh, by the way, I've got this issue, if it proves to be true, it's just an accusation, I've got this issue over here, but it's in this compartment, and it doesn't really affect who I am as senior pastor of this church. And I know pastors, and you probably have known pastors, that are there. It is the lack of integration. You cannot have integrity if there's something going on in your private life and you think you can still perform your functions in your public life. And I can tell you with pastors, they aren't in the Word. They aren't allowing people to speak in their lives. They have a pride or ego issue going on. And it doesn't happen all at once. It happens little by little. But they get to a point where Bishop Eddie Long, if it's proven to be true, thinks it is perfectly fine for me to do what I do and have this going on. We fool ourselves that way. It is this integrity issue. So, here's what I want to ask you. Look at your outline there. What is integrity? Why is it important? How do I do it in an age where I can tell you this value is not held real high? First, why is integrity important? Three important reasons. First, it pleases God. The first reason why you and I need to live a life of integrity is, as believers, number one, It's God's will. It pleases Him. It honors Him. Because God is absolute integrity, utter holiness, it pleases Him. He can't lie. It's absolute truth. The Bible says that God demands integrity from my words, my actions, my thoughts, my whole lifestyle of honesty and integrity, integration in every compartment, every area. So, Proverbs 3, and it's 32. I'm sorry for the typo. The Lord hates people with twisted hearts, but He delights in those who have integrity. God hates deception, it says, but He loves integrity. In fact, the other verse even said, depending on your translation, that He will bring us into His counsel. He will bless our homes because of this. Because that's the opposite of who He is, deception or lying or falsehood. That's why He hates it. And so He loves when we have integrity. Two, it affects others. Integrity is important because it affects the people you walk around with. It affects the people you live with, you work with, your family. And there will be a price to pay if you live with a lack of it. Those around you that you love and care for. It is going to influence and affect those people that you know and love. First place, you're going to affect the people in your home. Look at Proverbs 27. Good people who live honest lives will be a blessing to their children. Do you want to be a blessing to your children? It warms my heart when I see folks in this church that I know have walked with the Lord for generations, and I see their children sometimes more often than not, and I see the values, the integrity, the faith, the character, who that person, son or daughter, has become because of you. And I realize it's a thankless job. You go for years wondering if it's going to take. Do they even hear? You know, sometimes they're in their 40s before they even listen to you. But it is so important. That's why Scripture says, good people who live honest lives will be a blessing to their children. In the Living Bible paraphrase, it says, it is a wonderful heritage to have an honest father. Guys, that means more than all the money in the world. It means more than all the power or prestige in the world. What matters is integrity. And if you do not have integrity in your life, you will be hurting your wife, your husband, your children, your loved ones. And your ship is going to sink. So not only does integrity affect your family, your loved ones, but it affects society. Look at Proverbs 11:11. Those you work with, the world around you. The influence of good people makes a city great. Proverbs 14:34. Doing what is right makes a nation great. We live in a country that is desperate for men and women of integrity. Please believe me. There is a vacuum in our leadership, in our lives, for men and women of integrity that live the way that God intends for us to live. And for believers, there's even a third, there's a greater reason. It's a witness to the world. Look at that verse. People who do not believe are living all around you, so live good lives, then they will see the good things you do, and they will give glory to God. The Bible says that you, as a believer, if you live a life with integrity, that you will help. It might just be the planting or the watering, maybe the harvest, but you will help lead people to Christ because of the life you live. It's a witness to the world. Now, I realize, you know, lifestyle evangelism, it's not just enough to live your life and assume people are going to come to Christ from it, but I can tell you, if you share your faith and you don't live a life of integrity, the message doesn't resonate quite as much. So integrity pleases God. That's the first reason. It affects others around you. That's the second reason. Third, integrity is important because look at number three. It blesses me. It blesses me. Proverbs 11:5-6. Moral character makes for smooth traveling. An evil life is a hard life. Good character is the best insurance. The Bible gives us dozens and dozens of examples of if you and I live with integrity, one, our life is easier. He will make our path straight because of how we live our life. Life will go smoother if you have integrity. I grew up in central Illinois, right? Peoria, right near Bloomington Normal. This is a news clip that came out recently. 20-year-old University of Illinois student. He calls the campus police on the campus of Bloomington Normal there, and he wants to complain that his fake driver's license that he loaned to a friend, an underage friend, was confiscated at a bar that his friend was drinking at. And this student called the campus police and wanted to know how to get that fake driver's license back because he paid $50 for it. And you were worried about our higher education system. Life will go smoother if you maintain integrity. Now, let's switch gears. What is it? Why is it important? How do you and I live with it? Look at number two, Roman numeral two. If this is the kind of thing that God wants me to do, if this is how I make an impact on other people because of my life, and I want God's blessing in my life, how do I live that kind of life? First, always speak the truth. Like the woman, as she was leaving the worship service, the pastor was at the back door, and she said, "That was a great sermon, Pastor." And he was like, "Don't thank me, thank the Lord." And she said, "It wasn't that good." Always speak the truth. Proverbs 12:22. The Lord hates liars, but is pleased with those who keep their word. Let me ask you, do you keep your word? Do you keep your promises? Or do you make excuses? "Well, I said this, but I really couldn't because this was my situation. This is what was going on." The Bible says God loves people who keep their word. It's part of integrity. And you will not have very many great relationships if you are not able to keep your word, to keep your promises. Integrity is the basis of all relationships. And if you don't have integrity in a relationship with someone else, then eventually that relationship will fall, will sink. Truth and trust go with one another. If I don't tell you the truth, you will not trust me. If the things I say do not prove to be right or true, you will doubt everything that comes out of my mouth. And if you don't trust me, we literally, at some level, will not have a relationship. Scripture says, "Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip." That's called hypocrisy. People that say, "This is my private life. This is my public life. You know me over here. This is my compartment that I relate to you in. I can be different in each of them." And if you feel that way or say that, then we would call you a hypocrite. If you're going to live with integrity, you always speak the truth, even when it's inconvenient, even when you're in a difficult situation, even when you're scared, perhaps. That's what integrity demands. But there is more to integrity than simply speaking the truth. Let me illustrate this. Charles Swindoll. I love Charles Swindoll. He is such a great storyteller, such a great illustrator. And in his book, Growing Deep in the Christian Life, he talks about this couple. And they went into this chicken joint. And he went to the drive-thru window, and he was going on a picnic, so he ordered a bucket of chicken. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but a lot of chicken joints actually put their day's receipt in a chicken bucket so that when the employee or the manager takes it to the bank, it draws less attention than a bank bag. So this guy ordered his chicken for him and his date, going to the picnic, got to the picnic grounds, opened up the bag, the bucket, and inside is over $800 in cash and numerous checks, the day's receipts, previous day's receipts for this chicken place. This guy, Mr. Clean, puts it all together, gets this woman, hops in his car, drives back to the chicken joint, goes inside, talks to the manager, who is distraught at this point, and says, "Look, all I want was to go on a picnic and get some chicken, and look what I got." At this point, he's like, "Thank you so much. You're the most honest person. Wait here. I want to give you a reward. I want to call the news. I want this put out, what you did." And he's like, "Wait a second. Says, you see this woman I'm with? She's not my wife." True story. You can speak the truth and not have integrity. Second, what do? I have to stand for what's right. Standing is often more than just speaking up. Okay? We always have to do that. But standing often involves action. It's a doing something. So sometimes you have to do something because of integrity. That's what this is talking about. 2 Corinthians 13:8. Our responsibility is never to oppose the truth, but to stand for the truth at all times. Stand for the truth at all times. We do not have many people today interested in standing for truth at all times. Mark, as treasurer, you'll like this. True story again. Employee got grossly overpaid. In fact, did you hear that about the unemployment in the States? So many people got overpaid. Nobody called, did they? Hey, you're paying me too much. And first they told them they were going to have to all pay it back. Some people, if you saw it on the news, owed like $10,000. You're unemployed, you're going to pay the state $10,000. But this is a true story. Employee gets grossly overpaid on his paycheck. Takes a check, cashes it, doesn't say a word. The second week, obviously, payroll department notices the mistake and corrects it by shorting his pay that much. The irate employee goes to payroll and says, "What's going on here? My check is only this much," to which was explained to him, "The previous week you got overpaid this much, and we made the correction this week. Why didn't you say anything the first week?" He said, "Well, one mistake I can overlook, but two, forget about it." If you're going to be a person of integrity, there will come times, even when you don't want to, that you have to stand up, speak the truth, point out perhaps that something is flat wrong. You don't say it in a mean-spirited way. You don't say it with hatred or anger even. The Bible says you speak the truth in love. But if you're going to be a person of integrity, there will be times in your life when you're talking to someone one-on-one or in a group or in a class or at the water fountain at work, where you have to say, sex outside of marriage is always wrong, period. Doesn't matter what society says, God says it's wrong. There may be times where you have to say, homosexuality is wrong. I didn't say it, God did, it's in His words. There may be times when you have to say, profanity is wrong, pornography is wrong, abortion is wrong. Because integrity demands it, you have to take a stand, it's action, it's doing. It may be uncomfortable, you may not want to do it, but when you know the truth and you don't talk about it, you don't stand for it, then that's being dishonest. Look at the scripture. When a person knows the right thing to do but doesn't do it, then he is sinning. It's very important to remember the quote, and you all know it. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Take a stand. Third way to live with integrity. Look at your outline there. You stay clean. Mind, body, motive pure. Philippians 2:15. You're to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. You stay clean. You ever wonder why God chose Noah? Why'd He make that poor guy build a boat in the desert, preach for 120 years that it's going to rain, and it didn't? Genesis 6:9 says, Noah had integrity. And God says, there's a person I can trust. There's a person I can depend upon. He's not compartmentalized. It's a unified, integrated whole. He will stay afloat. So how do you stay clean? How do you have integrity when everybody around you is cutting corners, is telling falsehoods, is taking the easy deal, is taking the easy way out, when people around you could not care less about character and integrity and morals? How do you and I maintain integrity? Three things. One, choose the right kind of friends. I love Dennis the Menace. Got a cartoon here. Dennis catches his friend Joey trying to get the newspaper machine open without putting money in. He says, Joey, don't do that. You have to put a quarter in first, and then you can take as many papers as you want. Choose the right kind of friends. You will become like the people you spend the most time with. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. I suggest you spend time with Jesus Christ. You read His Word. You're going to become more and more like Him the more and more time you spend with Him through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. In other words, if you want to soar like an eagle, you don't run with the turkeys. Choose your friends wisely, because they will either pull you up or they will pull you down. Number two, value integrity more than image. Boy, that's hard. We are a country where image is number one. Image is everything. We have just been through 10 years where you use your house like an ATM. It doesn't matter how liquid you are. It doesn't matter if you have savings or investments. It doesn't matter if you're rich, as long as you look rich. It doesn't matter if you're successful, as long as you look successful. Toffler once said, our greatest pretenses are built up not to hide our evil, but to hide our emptiness. Isn't that the truth? What car do I drive? What label is on my clothes? How big is my house? What neighborhood is it in? Watch your integrity more than your image. Three, watch what you watch. In other words, there's this Christian filter, this grid that everything has to be pushed through before it goes into your mind. And if you're going to be a person of integrity, then you have to monitor your media intake, and we are flooded by it. There are a lot of things in media that do not in any way, shape, or form represent any sense of integrity, and you can't allow just any idea, any thought, any sound, any song, any movie, any book, any magazine into your mind like it's some kind of open landfill or garbage dump. You have to watch what you watch. Proverbs or Psalms 101, 2, 3. Cut this one out. Tape it over your TV. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look on anything vile and vulgar. There's just some things you don't need to watch. Remember that verse when you're surfing next time. Proverbs 15, 14. The wise person is hungry for the truth, but the fool feeds on trash. And there is so much trash out there, and it is so foolish for us to believe that we can fill our mind with that kind of trash and be able to expect to live a life of integrity. Inevitably, it will affect our behavior. And so my challenge for all of us, including me today, is that we would commit to being a person, a man, a woman, a young person of integrity. And what the Bible calls a crooked, a perverse generation among whom you may shine as lights in a dark world. If you are going to attempt to live a life of integrity, I can tell you, you can't tell the darkness except for the light shining in it, and you will shine bright compared to much of our culture and society. America is desperately in need of men and women, especially believers, at work, at schools, in government, in church, that will live a life of integrity. A crying need for those that are willing to try this. Without that, our foundations are going to crumble. Our families are going to crumble. Our nations are going to crumble. Do you want to please God? Do you want to influence those around you? Do you want to be blessed by God because of it? Do you want it to make a difference in your own life? The way to be smoother, less stressed because you don't have this value contradiction in your life, more joy because you can sleep at night and you know God will bless your efforts, then you and I commit to being a person of integrity. These are the steps. They're simple, aren't they? They're very hard. They are very hard. Integrity must be practiced, even when you don't want to. Doesn't come overnight. There's no pill you can take for it. It doesn't happen by some quick volition and decision. Some of the times you're going to feel weak and wobbly in your knees trying to do this new behavior, this new thinking. But when you get that strength, do the right thing, and it's two step forwards and one step back, you start to get little wins under your belt. When everyone around you is doing the wrong thing, but you have committed to be integrated, not compartmentalized, and you wonder, where am I going to get the strength to swim upstream against the flow of everyone else? Where does that power to do this come from? The Scripture says, God's divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. This power was given to us through knowing Jesus, who called us by His own glory and integrity. No one ever lived a more integrated life, a life of more integrity than Jesus Christ. If you want to live a life of integrity, obviously first, we talked about the commitments last week, but you have to get Jesus in your heart. You get Christ in your life, you open up your life and you say, Jesus Christ, come into my life, clean out all the garbage, clean house, do the job that needs to be done in my mind and my heart, get the job done. Help me in my new character. Let's just start over. Let's get a fresh start. Be born again. Get a new life. Give me that power, that guidance of the Holy Spirit. Clean the slate, because from here on out, Father, I want to be that person of integrity. And the better I get to know You, Jesus Christ, the more I will learn to think like You, to act like You, the more and more I turn more areas of my life over to control of the Holy Spirit, then the more integrity I will have. Would you pray with me, please? And I just invite you just to track with me. Follow me, if you will, in this prayer. Just say it in your mind. Jesus, we really want to be people of integrity. We want to please You. We want to influence others for good. We want the blessing You will give because of integrity in our lives. But we need Your help. We need Your power to do the right thing. Forgive me. Forgive us for the times we've shaded the truth. We've compromised. We've been silent when we should have spoken up. Because I was embarrassed. Because I was afraid. Because I was peer pressure what other people might think. I realize You want to lead. I turn that over to You, Lord. Forgive me for trying to compartmentalize my life and believe the lie that I can be this over here and that over there. That titanic mistake. I want You to be in charge of my time and my thoughts and words and actions and money and dreams and goals and relationships. And Father, I ask that we would always speak the truth, that You would help us to stay clean. Help us to live with integrity by choosing the right friends, by watching what we watch, by valuing truth over things. Father, let us be the lights that shine in the darkness. And it's in Your name that we pray this. Amen.